All right, so looking at the Jets here, this is obviously a team that we know very well, and they're playing very well. I think Coach Bowles done a great job with this team. Went through a little bit of a down, period there in the middle of the season, but they've really bounced back off that one in the last four games. Really do everything well as a team. They're very good. Physical team, run the ball, stop the run, play good defense, balanced on offense, throw the ball well, good in a kicking game. Good situational team, very good in the red area. Just play good situational football in general. Not penalized much, don't make a lot of mistakes. Turn the ball over a lot on defense. A big plus turnover ratio, so that's served them well this year. Again, well-balanced, have a lot of guys contributing. A lot of guys on defense are playmakers, a lot of playmakers on offense. Fitzpatrick's having a good year, along with all his receivers and backs. So it's a good football team that's playing well. And, obviously we're going into a hostile environment down there, so it'll be a big challenge for us this week. Get down there and get ready to go.
You guys brought in Steven Jackson, obviously. What was it about him that appealed to you?
Well, I think, his career speaks for itself, and we'll see where it goes.
What have your first impressions been just a day or two, teaching him the offense and starting to get to know him?
Right, well, he was in St. Louis with Josh, so he has a lot better background on the offense than a lot of the guys we bring in here.
For someone like that, Bill, who hasn't played in a game this year, obviously, what are some of the challenges, I guess, of trying to get him integrated as he kind of goes through what players?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It's been a long time since he's been on the football field.
It's hard to play football without, or get ready to play football without playing football.
But right.
With that in mind, I mean, how would you sort of assess the condition that he arrived here in terms of league?
We'll see.
It seems so long ago. You had talked in the past about visiting with him in Las Vegas in 2004. I mean, does that at all help you or a factor in making this decision, or is that just too far away to?
Well, I mean, again, Josh was with him in St. Louis, so I think that's much more of a factor. In our offense as an NFL player. I mean, we had a great visit in Las Vegas. I'm not taking anything away from that, but it's. I don't think there's any question about, Jackson's intelligence, work ethic, character, or anything. He was a great player. Where is he now? I don't know.
What does Yosefa offer as a blocker? Did he do a lot of that at Hawaii?
No, he's a back. He carried the ball a lot. So he's kind of built like a fullback, but he played halfback. It's kind of like a Heath Evans, at Auburn. And it became more of a fullback in this league. So, I don't know. Joey's worked at it. I'd say he's definitely gotten better at it. It's not his first position, so it's not real natural at it. But a lot of a fullback's job is being a running back and finding the hole to lead the back through the hole. So there's certainly an element of reading blocks and not just blocking your guy, but taking the right path to block your guy based on what's happening in front of you. And so that's he's working on that. I'd say somewhere between a fullback and a bigger running back.
Mohammad Wilkerson already has a career high in sacks this year. So what have you seen from him this season?
Yeah, same as in the past. Big, fast, athletic. He's got power, he's got quickness, hard to block, good motor. They got a good, everybody on the defensive line is good.
How do those guys complement each other? Can they interchange, or do they?
Just basically run over the guy in front of them. Guy who gets there first hits a quarterback, and the other guys jump on a pile. They're hard to block. They're all good. They're all productive. you can't just gear towards one guy. There's too many guys. So they're physical, very strong.
Harrison in particular is somebody.
Yeah, he's really, he might be the best of all of them, you know, against the run. I mean, got great leverage, reads blocks well, hard to block, penetrates. You know, he's not just a stay on the line of scrimmage guy. I mean, he makes plays in the backfield or knocks the blockers back into the backfield, so the runner has to either give ground or cut back into, you know, unblock guys, and then they clean him up. So he's had a lot of production. I don't know, 60 tackles or something, whatever it is. He's got a lot of, made a lot of plays for that position. I mean, you see some guys playing that position, you know, don't make very many tackles. They're, I'm not saying they're not good players, but he's not only disruptive, and but he's also been very, very productive. He's a major force.
Bill, from an offensive standpoint, how have they generated their downhill running game without really incorporating a tight end on a full-time basis? I mean, how out of the ordinary is that for a team to continue to run the ball north south the way they have?
Well, I mean, you pretty much turn on any college game on Saturday, and that's what you're going to see. I mean, there's dozens of college teams that don't even have a tight end on their roster. They don't even recruit tight ends. So, it's, you know, you spread out, and you bring a lot of people in, then you throw the ball. If you walk out there on them, then it's just fewer guys to block and more space for the runner. So, I mean, look, Ivory, you know, gets good blocking, but he didn't need a lot of blocking. I mean, the run he had against Miami, you know, Run through like seven different guys, so you know, it could have been me, you know, me and you out there blocking for him on that play. It wouldn't, you know, he didn't need any blocking. So that's part of it. But Powell does a good job too. You know, he's quick. He hits the crease in there. So they're different styles, but you know, Powell's a little more of a space runner. Ivory's a little more of a, he can run in space, obviously, but he, you know, he's a power back. He runs through tackles. He's got great balance. So, but they do it for more of a spread set, one to no tight ends on the field. You know, there's not usually more than that. So, one at the most. But you know, Nunwa is not a tight end, but he's a bigger guy. So, when you look at a Nunwa blocking a defensive back, you know, that's a mismatch. You know, he's bigger than most of those guys. Whereas, you know, if you put a tight end in the game, usually the guy he's blocking is comparable. In an Anwal's case, if you start, you know, putting a corner on him, then you know, he gains an advantage on that. So, I say there's a little bit of that, too.
Bill, happy holidays. I know we're all trying to spread cheer here, but based on some of the things your team's been through in 2015, would it be okay with you if Santa Claus wrote you a letter to tell you that he threw a couple of the names of the men who run the league and their lawyers on the naughty list this year?
Yeah, I'll leave Santa Claus and his list to the elves.
Coach, I know you talked in a conference call about utilizing players differently at this point in the season, given where you are in the standings. Could you elaborate on how to use players differently at this point?
No.
Make a case that no player in recent memory has had his life change as much as Malcolm just because of the magnitude of the play he had made last year. What have you noticed just from the way he's handled himself this year to put himself in position to be a Pro Bowl player this year?
You know, Malcolm's come a long way on and off the field, you know, as a professional, as a professional football player. So he's worked really hard at it, and you know, I think everybody respects him, you know, for it. I mean, he didn't come from, you know, some big Division I program, you know, big Heisman Trophy winner or anything like that. I mean, so, you know, but I'd say it's been like that all year. He's, you know, humble, works hard, tries to get better, you know, makes mistakes. There's a lot of things he can do better, but he works hard to get them better, and he corrects them. And, you know, I think everybody that's on our team or around our team respects that. And he doesn't have all the answers, tries hard, plays with a, you know, good level of confidence, which is good for his position. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And he's gotten better. So we all respect that.
Bill, I know a couple weeks ago you said have to wait and see how you're going to use Brandon Bolden going forward. I'm wondering, with Steven Jackson coming in with your stuff last week, if you come to any more of a clarity as to how many snaps Brandon Bolden can play and where that might be, if that helps you in that process.
I don't know. I mean, how many can you play? I mean, you could play as many as you want. I mean, but that's, I don't know if that's the best role for him, but he's done it before and he could do it. Not saying that's where we want to be. I mean, look, Steven Jackson didn't take a snap for us, so I don't know what he can do. Sefa played one game, so we'll see where that goes. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to all those questions.
I know you've touched on this before, but the value of having a guy like Brandon who can step in.
Yeah, no, look, I can't even tell you how many games we've gone into with three backs and him being the third back as really being able to play on first, second, third, and fourth down and play well and be one of our best fourth down players. That's a lot. You know, when you start talking about third down backs and all they have to do in terms of blitz pickup, formations, you know, coverages and all that, and then, you know, same thing on early downs, being able to run the ball, having all the running game, plus all the blitz pickup on play action passes, which is a whole different set of protections and defensive looks, and then you get into fourth down, you know, and of course special teams player that's involved in four phases of the game, you know, kickoff return, punt return, and all the things that go on there, and all the situational plays that happen on those in those units. I mean, the volume there is, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that'd be a lot for a guy to do one of those things, third down or special teams or first and second down. And for a guy to be able to, you know, be as competent as he is in all those areas, physically and, you know, mentally, is, there are many guys in the league who could do that now.
How hard is that balance, Bill, to measure the impact of a special teams player like Brandon being all part of all four and trying to see how much value he can bring to you on first, second, third down and weighing how much do we want to tax him?
Yeah, that's sure. Some of that is more a product of everybody else than it is him because he can do all special teams, all third down, all first and second down. Maybe you can do all the running back stuff and no special, you know. I don't know. But who else do you have? Who else can, you know, who else is part of that? What can they do? You know, so that's the way James White's playing, what he's done. You know, he's done a great job for us on third down. So maybe that's something that Brandon, you know, he has to be ready to do it. Maybe that's a role that's, you know, not as big for him and it's more of something else. So, or maybe James White's role shifts a little bit now. And, you know, so, I mean, again, there's some options there. But, again, some of that's a function of what else you have as opposed to, because it's not like we're sitting here saying, like, okay, these are the things that Bolden can't do. That's a pretty short list. What he can do is pretty much everything. So, question of, you know, where you want to use him. But he gives you the flexibility that some other players don't who can only do maybe one thing or maybe two things.
Bill, how critical has Josh Poyer been to the development of this group of cornerbacks, and maybe in particular his ability to, you know, last year it's Brandon, Kyle, and Revis as your primary three. This year, almost a complete upheaval and turnover in that position in terms of who's getting the lion's share of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Josh's done a really good job with that group, and you know, as you mentioned, there's certainly, look, anytime you coach a unit, you know, there's a dynamic in who you're coaching. And, you know, your coaching style, you know, is somewhat altered or affected by who, you know, who's in that room. So, you know, when I was the defensive coordinator of the Giants and coached the secondary, you know, Everson Walls had been in the league for, I don't know, whatever it was, you know, 10 years, whatever, 50-some career interceptions. You know, there's certain things he did that, as a coach, you don't really want to change because he's had so much success doing them that way, and maybe you wouldn't be comfortable doing them another way, but that wouldn't work for a younger player. You know, that wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't want to coach a player the way Everson played, but the way Everson played was very productive for Everson. So you kind of find that balance in there. Or Revis would be another example of that. You know, not every player can play like Revis, but Revis played very good the way he plays, and so, you know, you have to, you know, you're kind of coaching Malcolm one way or coaching Revis another way. And, you know, a guy like Browner is different than Revis, different than Malcolm, you know, but, you know, he also was a productive player. So again, whereas this year, you know, we're looking at a lot different makeup on that group, younger players who you know, can be instructed more in the basic fundamental way to play, that don't have other, haven't been in other systems, and maybe don't have other habits, don't have other, you know, other things to change, that you can kind of, you know, build them a little bit more from the ground up, you know, rather from them from the top down, which is, you know, and again, it's not a good or a bad, it's just different. So, but Josh has done a, you know, a good job of that, and you know, including Coleman, Melvin, Leonard, you know, the guys that have come in here, the way that that whole group has evolved, you know, even Chung, who, you know, has played really a lot of, if you will, corner for us, and played it well. So it's been a different dynamic, but, you know, again, he spent a lot of time with those guys, not just on the X's and O's, but also off the field preparation, you know, the communication with the group, you know, all the things that go in there. And I'd say, you know, Logan, you know, has done a great job of, he's not a coach, but, you know, in terms of taking leadership of that unit, in terms of their preparation, their communication, their on the field, you know, adjustments, you know, helping guys like, you know, Leonard, Malcolm, you know, working with the safeties, that, you know, that he's, Logan's been a big part of that whole, the development of that whole unit as well. And, but again, the growth of Malcolm from, you know, somewhere in the middle of last year to probably somewhere in the middle of this year, you know, was, I mean, it's pretty steep.
Well, I know individual accolades aren't the ultimate goal around here, but seven Pro Bowlers announced yesterday. I just wanted to get your thoughts on how many, how nice it is for the team to have that many guys recognized in a successful season.
Well, yeah, a couple thoughts. I mean, yeah, sure, it's great for the players who are recognized. Certainly, I felt like all those, the players that were recognized were deserving, all had good years. The other guys on the team have had good years, too, but that's kind of the way it always is. You know, proud of the fact that all seven of those players are homegrown. They're all came in as Patriots, spent their whole career here as Patriots, developed as Patriots in different one way or another, but that's what they all are. So I think there's something to be said for that. You know, Slater, five Pro Bowls. Father had five Pro Bowls. It's pretty special. I mean, nobody else has done that. I mean, Matthews, clan's still going. I had Clay. But, you know, that's kind of a, you know, as an aside, kind of a special thing. And, you know, it's, I think the representation speaks a little bit to the balance of the team with, you know, Slater and Gostkowski in the kicking game. Rob and Tom on offense, and Chandler and Jamie and Malcolm on defense. And so that's, you know, that's good.
Do you feel particularly pleased, honored, or proud?
I mean, look, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's like, just don't make this into more than it is. I think we all know what the process is and you know, who's actually making the decisions here and based on what. But again, all that aside, all those guys had good years. They're all good players. We have other good players on our team that weren't recognized. But that's, you know, that's the way it always is. And I'm sure every team feels the same way. So, but doesn't take anything away from what, you know, what those guys did, and I'm happy for them, but I don't think that's why they or myself are involved in that player of the year, coach of the year, all pro, whatever it is. Like, that's not really what any of us are here for. Mm-hmm. So if it comes, it's great, but that's not really, that's not our top goal.
You mentioned Malcolm earlier, where he's come from, not the biggest program. Obviously, talent is the one thing you consider, D2 versus D1. What are some of the other considerations that you take into mind when you look at a guy who didn't go to, you know, Arizona, Ohio State, USC, some of these big programs, and how they can transition to the pros?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty long list. I mean, it starts with, I would say, just the overall program. You know, the commitment, you know, commitment in a Division I program is pretty much 12 months a year in terms of off-season training, off-season, you know, summer program, you know, class schedule, practice, you know, it's every day. You know, it's like being a professional player. I mean, you know, not quite the same, but, you know, between your class commitments, your academic commitments, your football commitments, your off-season training and all that, I mean, you're always going. So, you know, you've got to do a lot of things just to be able to be compliant, right? I mean, you know, your grades have to be up. You have to, you know, you can't be missing stuff. You got to, you know, like the NFL, you got to be here every day. You got to be accountable. You got to be dependable. So, you know, in other programs, that just isn't required or not to the same, anywhere near to the same degree. You know, level of competition is obviously a big, big gap. I mean, you see a lot of, you know, talented players at a lower level of competition, but then when the competition changes, then, you know, it's a little more equal. Then are they really able to compete at that next level? Do they have the competitiveness, the drive, the whatever it is to, you know, go out there and outwork and outcompete and out-tough the guy who's got as much talent as they do versus just being better than everybody else and going out there and just, you know, just being themselves, but they're just better than everybody else. Well, that doesn't really, you know, last. Schematically, the same thing, you know, teams that just don't have as much time, don't have the same kind of resources, you know, the game's narrower. Fewer coverages, fewer, you know, you're defending less, you're playing with less, you know, less defense, a couple coverages, that kind of thing. And now you come into a, you know, a more expansive system, and then you've got the volume of we got more, there's more on the other side of the ball. You know, when you start putting all those together, it becomes really exponential, you know, the number of variables. So playing one position versus playing, you know, both sides, inside, outside, factoring the kicking game into it, all that. It's just, so there's a lot of, there's the on the field, there's the talent, and I'd say there's the overall program. And, you know, being a professional, being a, you know, being a solid, dependable, consistent player, which is what all great players are. They're consistent. They're not just, you know, make one play and then, you know, those guys aren't, they're not the great players. They might have highlight plays, but the great players are ones that can sustain it over a game, over several games, over seasons. And those are the guys that stand out. So that's, it's hard to measure until you put a guy in that situation.
Coach, a lot of teams have very skilled receivers and tall receivers, but Decker and Marshall are both tall and very talented. How tough are they to handle?
Yeah, I mean, they're good, big receivers, yeah. I mean, look, every receiver in this league's got skill or they wouldn't be out there. So some guys have size, some guys have speed, some guys have quickness, some guys have great route running technique, some guys have great hands or combinations of those things. And, you know, it's the same thing with defensive backs. Some are big, some are fast, some are quick, some have great ball skills, some have great instincts. And so each guy matches up differently against a different guy. You know, that's why you have different receivers in training camp. That's why when you practice against a team like New Orleans or, you know, as we have in the past, you know, Tampa or Philly or whoever it happened to be, that, you know, you get exposure to other guys in training camp, you get exposure to other type players in preseason games. That's part of your preparation for the season. Somewhere along the line, you're going to see, if you don't have a guy like that on your team, then, you know, you see, eventually you'll see guys like that on other teams. And whatever your individual skill set is, you have to figure out how you match up against another guy's skill set. You know, whether it's a fast, quick guy or a big, strong guy or whatever it is. You know, that's, so that's the way it is across the board. It's no different than offensive, defensive linemen. Offensive linemen, you're going to be blocking some, you know, 350-pound guy, and you're going to be blocking some 235-pound linebacker that's got great quickness coming through there. So, you know, you have to block both of them sooner or later. You got to figure out how to do it.
Real quick follow-up. You a candy cane guy, Bill?
Not a hard candy guy, no. Well, was that going to be a gift? No, you hang on. That's good. All right. Okay, happy holidays. Thank you.